When we were all here over Shabbos, one of the administrative staff members made a comment that really resonated with me, and that was that one of the ways in which she connects to HaKadosh Baruch Hu most strongly is in the bracha of Asher Yatzer. And that was a comment that really resonated with me, so I thought tonight in our shiur we should talk about the bracha of Asher Yatzer a little bit and just try to gain an appreciation for what it is that this bracha really means. We say it so many times a day, we should really understand what it is that we're saying. So just by way of introduction, there's a beautiful mashal in the Sefer Chovos HaLevavos. Chovos HaLevavos was written by Rabbeinu Bechaye, but not the same Rabbeinu Bechaye as the one on Chumash. It's a different Rabbeinu Bechaye. But the Chovos HaLevavos writes the following mashal. And it's a very meaningful one. It really brings home the point. He says that there's a mashal l'ish chassid v'tov. He said there was a person who was a magnanimous, a generous person. And he was so overly gracious, and he sees one day in the newspaper that there was an ad that there was a child whose parents abandoned him. His parents neglected him. And they were looking for somebody who would be willing to adopt this child and take care of him, to raise him. So he says to his wife, look, we don't have any children in the house anymore. Everybody's married. We have plenty of time. Maybe we should adopt this child and take care of him and give him a chance at life. So that's what they do. They adopt the child, they take him home, and they do everything to shower him with love. The child was only a few months old at the time, but from the time that they took over his life, they put him through school, they nourish him, they nurture him. After he finishes school, they send him off to college. After he finishes college, they send him off to get married. Everything's amazing. They took care of this kid from the time he was a young child until he becomes an adult, fully functioning member of society on his own, has a family of his own. Later on, a couple of years after they're done with this kid, time goes by, and they hear there's another advertisement in the newspaper. And this time the ad says that there was a prisoner that was sent to jail. And the plan was that this prisoner was going to have a life sentence. And says the Chovos HaLevavos, why was he going to have a life sentence? Why would he never be able to go back to his family? Because he had accumulated an unimaginable amount of debt. He borrowed from this one and from the other one, and he just couldn't pay back all the loans. So they arrested him. And he was going to be stuck there for the rest of his life. And this man turns to his wife again and he says, you know, we have the means. We don't have young children anymore. We're not spending that much money. We're senior citizens. It doesn't cost so much to live anymore. We own our house. We're not sending kids to their tuitions. We don't have school things that we need to pay for. Why don't we invest some money in getting this guy bailed out of jail? Let's pay off his debt. And he'll be able to have a normal life. He'll start life again. He'll be okay. So they do. And they save his life. Ask the Chovos HaLevavos, if you take a step back and you ask yourself, who is supposed to be giving more gratitude to this magnanimous individual? Who should really owe him more? Should it be the child who from the time that he was 3 months old till the time he's an adult and gets married on his own was completely sustained and nourished by this very generous family? Or should it be this man who was supposed to be in jail for the rest of his life and had a one-time favor from this family that he didn't even know? Writes the Chovos HaLevavos, we all know that the one who owes the more profound gratitude is this young child. Because every moment of his life was a gift. Everything that he knows was given to him just out of the goodwill of these people who didn't even know him. Yes, they both owe him a debt of gratitude, but who owes more? Obviously that young child who became an adult and was raised his entire life off of their kindness, off of their generosity. So yes, did they do a favor for both of them? Of course. But says Rabbeinu Bechaye, this is really sometimes the experience of life. And here we can really feel it more profoundly in Camp Simcha. Because when we see how many people have compromised ability in life and have to rely on us to help them make it through life, it's something that should bring forth this point even more strongly, even more profoundly. And the question that is asked is, who owes more debt of gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The person who is the beneficiary of constant chesed from the moment that we were born, that we have fully functioning bodies, that we're able to experience life and be self-sufficient, totally on our own, we don't have to rely on others? Or is it the person whose life is compromised and now has a one-time opportunity to be saved? This is really something that we need to think about when we talk about the bracha of Asher Yatzer. And now that we're mature adults, now that we're of the age that we're able to really appreciate the gifts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now that we're in a situation that makes us appreciate it even more profoundly than we ever have, it's an opportunity for us to really think about how blessed we are, how lucky we are, about how committed HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to taking care of us and to sustaining us at all times. So Rabbeinu Yonah, one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, writes in his commentary on Sefer Mishlei. The Pasuk in Sefer Mishlei writes, "Bechol derachecha da'ehu." Says Rabbeinu Yonah, what does it mean, "Bechol derachecha da'ehu"? You should know HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all of your engagements, in all of your travels, and everything that you do. So Rabbeinu Yonah writes very simply. He says there's a socher, there's a businessman, who knows that he has to go on a trip to a land that's far away, and he knows he's going to have to go on a boat, and the boat trip is dangerous. It's going to take him 3 months to get there, 3 months to get back. He's going to a dangerous community as well, and he hopes everything is going to be okay. But he knows that while he's on the boat, there could be a storm, there could be a hurricane, all kinds of things can happen. He can be capsized. He never knows what is going to be with his trip. He never knows whether or not he'll make it out alive. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, the natural inclination of a person going on such a journey, going on such a trip, is that he will daven. He's a believer, no atheist in a foxhole, right? We all know that. He's afraid. He knows he should be afraid. But says Rabbeinu Yonah, when he just jumps in his car to go to the supermarket, he's not afraid. He doesn't offer a tefillah. He doesn't think he needs HaKadosh Baruch Hu then, because he says, I can do this. This is a routine part of life, nothing to be scared of. Writes Rabbeinu Yonah, that's what the Navi means when he says, "Bechol derachecha da'ehu." Shlomo HaMelech teaches us here in Mishlei that we need to recognize the presence and the existence and the participation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Bechol derachecha," in all of our travels and everything that we do. Not just on the big trip that we go on the boat when we're afraid and we know something can really happen, but even when we get into our car to go to the supermarket, because we always need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's constant participation. That's what we need to think about. That's Bechol Derachecha De'eyu. That is the reality of life. And when you think about it from that perspective, you understand why it is that David HaMelech told us that we always have to be grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we say in Psukei Dezimra, Kol HaNeshama Tehalel Ka Halelu Ka. What does that mean, says the Gemara? I'll call Neshima, Neshima, on every breath that we take that we feel is expected, that we feel is going to come to us. Why would we think any differently? Yes, we have people in this campus who unfortunately are not sure whether or not we'll have another breath, but we think that it goes without saying. And therefore, the Gemara says we need to think all the time, I'll call Neshima, Neshima, that every breath is the constant involvement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the only reason why we are blessed to have it. That is the only reason why we are so gifted with the lives that we have and so lucky to have the experiences that we all share. So when we speak about the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, it's a little bit of an abstract concept when you think about Avas Hashem. What does it mean to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He's not here. Yes, we all know Hashem is everywhere. I get it. But it's very hard to love an entity that you really have no physical connection to. I can speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's a one-dimensional conversation. I don't always hear him speaking back to me. I'm not a Navi. I don't have Ruach HaKodesh. I don't always feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's immediate response. So what does it mean to have Avas Hashem? And the Rambam asked a million-dollar question. If we have a mitzvah, Ahavta Hashem Elokecha B'chal Levavcha, you're supposed to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ask the Rambam, how am I supposed to engender and develop that sense of love when I really have nothing to connect to? I don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't always experience him. So what exactly does it mean to have Avas Hashem? Writes the Rambam. Heich hu haderech la'avaso v'yiraso. The Rambam says, how is one supposed to engender that feeling of Avas Hashem? How do I get to that point? And he answers, b'shal sheyizbonein ha'adam b'maisav u'bruav ha'niflaim ha'gdolim. When we consider and when we examine the unbelievable greatness of all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created in our world, the Yira Mehem Chachmaso, and through studying them, through examining all of that, you get a glimpse of the Chachma, of the wisdom, of the infinite wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, She'ein la Eirlech ve'ein la Keitz, that is unlimited, it is infinite, it is immeasurable. Writes the Rambam, when you think about that, Miyad hu ohev u'meshabeach u'mefayr, that instinctively should make you become enamored, become infatuated with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. When you begin to appreciate a person more and more, you love them more and more. The better you get to know them, we hope, the more you appreciate what they're about. And therefore, writes the Rambam, if you want to really understand how we can really fulfill the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, the answer is to make sure that we examine, that we study, that we scrutinize, and we think a little bit about what it is that this world represents, what it is that happens in this world, and how much infinite wisdom went into the creation of our world and all of our lives that we live, that we experience. That is the greatest way to really have an opportunity to come to a sense of Ahavas Hashem in the most profound of ways. So, with that in mind, let's just try to break down. I want to make a few points about Asher Yatzar. We don't have a lot of time, but just a few pointers to think about because this bracha is said so many times a day, and it's worthy of our consideration. Number one, what does it mean when we say Asher Yatzar Es HaAdam B'Chachma? What does it mean, B'Chachma? So the Maharsha writes, what it means is we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu first and foremost for creating us with a brain, for creating a human being with the opportunity, with the ability to make decisions, to have an understanding, to live life based on the decisions that we make. That's what it means, Asher Yatzar Es HaAdam B'Chachma. That's what separates man from the rest of the creation, from the rest of the world. It's the fact that we have the ability to think. And number one, writes the Maharsha, before doing anything else, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the lives that we have to thank Him for the mind that we've been given, for the intellect that we're blessed to have. Because that really is the reason why human beings have the experience that they do. Because they use their minds in the proper way. And our minds are really what allow us to do whatever it is that we do. So says the Maharsha, that's what we mean when we say, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, number one, for creating us with chachma, with the ability to think and to use our minds and our intellects in the proper way. But the Shulchan Aruch says this really is not what we mean when we say Asher Yatzar Es HaAdam B'Chachma. Nice idea, but it's not what the reference is all about. The reference here is Asher Yatzar Es HaAdam B'Chachma. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for creating the world with His infinite chachma. We thank the Ribono Shel Olam for His unbelievable, intricate detail that He put into creating our world. And you think about it more and more here, it's unbelievable. If any of you talk to your campers and you start to understand what it is that they suffer from, you know, I get the feeling sometimes, I meet with lots of campers, and I love talking to them, and I love hearing their stories. I'm always inspired by their stories. They're amazing. And their spirit is even more amazing. But one thing that sometimes you realize when you talk to a camper about the intricate details of their story is you start hearing about parts of the body that you never knew existed. Anyone have that feeling? They start talking to you about cells and molecules and all kinds of intricate details of the body that I never heard of. Certain glands that I never knew existed, that I never knew made a difference. But when they have a tumor on that gland, or when they have some kind of issue that goes wrong, or some kind of disease, it makes you appreciate how intricate and how nuanced the body actually is. And that is what it means when we say, Asher Yatzar Es HaAdam B'Chachma. The amount of intricacy that goes into one body functioning in the way that it does and developing in the way that it does is so unfathomable, is so beyond our understanding. And we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that incredible wisdom in the way in which He put into our bodies every component that is necessary for us to have a successful and healthy life. That is what we mean, says the Shulchan Aruch, when we say, Asher Yatzar Es HaAdam B'chachma. You go a little bit further into the bracha and we say, Galui v'yadua lefnei kisei kevodecha. Now that's a very unusual statement. You think to yourself, through all the brachas that we say during the year, do we ever mention the kisei hakavod? Can you think of any other bracha where we say that? It's not a trick question. I don't think so. Why here do we mention Galui v'yadua lefnei kisei kevodecha? Why do we give this imagery of HaKadosh Baruch Hu sitting on His heavenly throne, kisei hakavod? What does that have to do with the bracha? Normally when we recite a bracha, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. We address HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't talk about where He sits and where He lives. Why is that necessary? Why is that important for us to mention here? And the Vilna Gaon suggests perhaps the reason why is because at a time when we do the lowliest of human activity, when we are involved in asiyas tzarachav shel ha'adam, when we are involved in that which a human being needs to do, which makes them say the bracha of Asher Yatzar, He says, there are some who believe, do you really think that there's a God here in the world that pays attention to the minutia of life, even to this? Do you think God has time for this? He has better things to be busy with. He has a whole world to run. You think He's really paying attention to what you're doing now? And the answer is, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for being that image, being that person not that person, being that body, that entity, that sits on the Kiseh HaKavod, we particularly want to point out the imagery of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being light years ahead of us, being in a totally different stratosphere, being in a world of his own on his Kiseh HaKavod where only the Malachi HaSharis are, and we build up that imagery to say, look how much he loves human beings, that he's willing to go all the way from that place up in heaven and come down to be involved in the lowliest of activities of man. That's what we're grateful for. And we understand and we appreciate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a part of every mundane aspect of our lives as well. It's not just that he makes time for the important quote-unquote things in life, but he makes time for every detail of life of a human being. And that's why we point that out in this bracha in particular, and usually we do not make reference of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this way, but here we make sure that we do, because we want to highlight the fact that this great all-encompassing entity called HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes of his precious time, so to speak, and comes down to deal with our minutiae of life, with our simplest of activities that we are engaged in, because he takes an interest in all that we do. Now we say, "Efshar lehiskayim v'la'amod lefanecha." What does it mean? We wouldn't be able to stand? If one of the parts of my body wasn't working properly, I wouldn't be able to stand? I don't know. If I have an ear infection, I can stand. What does that have to do with my legs? So why do we always say, "La'amod lefanecha"? And the answer to that is because we have many psukim in Chumash and throughout Tanakh where we say that the term Amida really means tefillah. It really means to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What we mean here is if one part of our body does not work properly, it takes away from our overall ability to serve you properly. So we thank you for giving us life, we thank you for giving us health, and we thank you for giving us the opportunity La'amod lefanecha to serve you, because that's really what life is all about. That's what we're here for. And we're all involved in Avodas Hashem here all day long. This is the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to give to our campers, to give of ourselves, to give in such a selfless way. It's so amazing to watch all of you and the things that you do. It's unbelievable. But that is what we do. That's what we ask for. We want good health because we want to have the opportunity to continue La'amod lefanecha, to serve you, and to serve you in the best way that we possibly can. We then have, in some sidurim, you'll see it in a brackets, and in others, they leave it in. La'amod lefanecha afilu sha'a achas. How many girls in the room say afilu sha'a achas? How many don't? Okay, so you're both right. But what's the issue here? How come some people put it in and some people take it out? Well, what we say here is, if something didn't work properly, afilu sha'a achas, even for one moment, we wouldn't be here. So some Rishonim say that really is not accurate. Because, take for example, I have the ability to go underwater, to close my nose, and to close my ears, and to close my mouth, and I'm not breathing for a second, for a moment, for a minute. I can hold my breath. I'm not doing the normal function that a body is supposed to do, and I still survive. And it's not even dangerous, if you know how to do it. So what do we mean when we say, afilu sha'a achas? I would be able to survive for one moment, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the way he created us was not working in the way it's supposed to, I would be okay. So that's why some said to take it out. Why are there many of us that leave it in? The Torah explains that the reason here is because we're not referring to our bodily functions on a day-to-day basis. What we're talking about here is the moment of birth. Isn't it amazing? When you think about a child who's born, and you should all have this opportunity, Amir Tzashem, in the right time. I remember when we had our first child. My wife is very strong and powerful, and she's amazing. She was fine. And I was really passing out. And all the doctors were like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "I'm really not okay. But I think you should be taking care of her." They're like, "No, she's fine." My wife was totally fine. I was not. And something that completely overwhelmed me was just how many things are running through your mind as a child is born, how many things can possibly go wrong. How much you daven for, how much you wish for, and then you realize the doctors tell you that your child is actually healthy and that everything is okay. It's an amazing miracle. But one of the greatest miracles that you think about at that time is, it really doesn't make sense. How does a child survive for the 9 months when they're just an embryo? Nobody knows? 101, biology, right? No big deal here. A child survives off of its mother, the umbilical cord. It does not open its mouth, correct? If a child would open its mouth in the womb and start trying to breathe in that way, it would suffocate. All in agreement? Now here's what's amazing. Thank you. So here's what's amazing. Child is born. We cut the umbilical cord. And now suddenly the child knows to start surviving on its own, to open its mouth, to open its nose, and to start breathing on its own. Isn't that a miracle? It's a miracle. How does the child know to do that? For 9 months you've been living like this. From your inception, that's the way you've been living. All of a sudden we throw you into this crazy world. You start seeing lights. We cut your umbilical cord. You're like, you're suffocated. You're going to die. And suddenly the child knows to start crying. The child knows to start breathing. The child knows to start smelling, to start doing all kinds of things in ways that they never did before. And that, writes the Torah, is what we mean. If that transition would be off by a minute, none of us would be here. That's what it means when we say afilu sha'a achas. The brilliance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that He put into our very nature that when we are born, we have the ability to transition from being that body, that entity that lives completely off of the umbilical cord, connected to our mothers, and suddenly we know to transition on our own. It's instinctive that we know to make a new kind of survival, a new kind of life, which is life through our mouths, life through our own breathing, life through our noses. That's something that has to happen immediately. Once we cut the umbilical cord, that has to happen right away, otherwise there's damage to a child. And says the Torah, that's what we mean when we say afilu sha'a achas. If that would be off, if that transition wouldn't happen, we wouldn't be able to survive afilu sha'a achas. That really would not work. We end off the bracha by saying rofei chal basar, which we all understand. Umafli la'asos. What does it mean? So in Hebrew, mafli means pele, something wondrous, something amazing. Now what is so wondrous? What are we referring to when we say mafli la'asos? So there are two different pshatim here. The Tur writes a very basic, simple interpretation, and that is, imagine, he says, you have a balloon. Balloon is filled with air. You make a hole in the balloon, all the air goes out. Again, very simple science here. Make a hole in the balloon, all the air comes out. Says the Tur, let's think about our bodies. Our bodies have all kinds of holes in them. Does it make sense that anything stays in? How come when I open my mouth, everything from the inside doesn't just come out? And how come I don't have things dripping out of my nose and out of my ears all day long? It doesn't really make any sense. How does the body know to differentiate between that which belongs inside and that which is supposed to come out? We should all be like a balloon that has a hole in it where everything should fall out, nothing should stay in its place. That, writes the Torah, is what we mean. Mafli la'asos, that is a pella. That is against the laws of nature. That is against all scientific norms. That we should assume that every part of our body knows to stay where it belongs? Why does our body know to do that? It doesn't really make sense. That's the pella. That's the wonder of humanity. That's the wonder of a human being, of the body. That it knows how to distinguish, it knows how to differentiate. That blood sometimes knows how to coagulate, and blood at other times knows it's supposed to clot, and sometimes it's supposed to come out. How does the blood know that? How does the blood know to clot it sometimes? Why doesn't, once you have a cut, why doesn't the body just bleed out? That's mafli la'asos. That's an amazing pella. That's a real wonder when you think about our lives. But number two, the Ramah gives us another interpretation, and that is worthy of consideration as well. The greatest pella, says the Ramah, is not that. The greatest wonder of our lives is not the fact that we should be like a balloon where everything should fall out and it doesn't. Everything stays in its place. Says the Ramah, the greatest wonder of life is the fact that we are all created not only with a body, not only with a guf, but also with a neshama. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a part of Himself, a chelek eloka, He took a heavenly part that really belonged living in His stratosphere with Him, and He put it into a physical body, and somehow they figure out how to coexist with one another. That's the greatest pella, says the Ramah. That's what we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. That really doesn't make sense. That's something that really should be at odds with one another. There should be no way that a physical body is able to somehow get along with a neshama. They're going in opposite directions, and yet somehow they do coexist. Somehow they do get along, and somehow they together make the complete whole of a human being. And not only that, we assume the Mishnah writes in Pirkei Avos, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem. What does it mean, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem? It means man is beloved because they are created B'Tselem Elokim. Who are we referring to here? Jews or non-Jews? What?
Non-Jews.
How many think we're referring to Jews?
Everyone.
How many think we're referring to everyone? Well, it is. The Mefarshim on the Pirkei Avos write, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tselem means all of humanity is created B'Tselem Elokim. We all have some kind of peace of godliness inside of ourselves, whether you're a Jew or a non-Jew. And how does that happen? How is it that we're possibly able to coexist with each other? The Mishnah goes further and says, well, Klal Yisrael is something more above and beyond everyone else. Chaviv in Yisrael shenikru banam lamakom, but chaviv adam shenivra b'tzelem, the Mefarshim on Pirkei Avos, right? That's referring to everybody. Everybody has a tzelem Elokim. How is that possible? That a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to coexist with a human body. That, says the Ramah, is the greatest Pella, that is the greatest gift. That somehow we're able to figure out how to have that fusion, how to have that connection, how to have that relationship between a guf and a neshama. And therefore, it is no coincidence that some of us have the practice in the morning. After we say the bracha of Asher Yatzar, many have the minig in the morning to say, immediately after that, Elokai neshama. Why do we do that? Because now that we finish thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the physical body, and the greatest pella of the physical body is that we have a neshama inside of it, we now have to give a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us that neshama. And that's why it follows immediately with Elokai neshama, because we need to highlight the greatness of our neshama and how amazing it is that the neshama somehow coexists with the guf that we were all blessed with. Let me just close with one final comment, and that is, we're told by Leah, she names her son Yehuda. And we're all familiar, the reason why she names him Yehuda is because Hapam Odes Hashem. She feels that she needs to express her sense of gratitude. She needs to show how grateful she is. So she names her son Yehuda. But then the next words in the pasuk are Vatamod Miledes. Her ability to have children is now suspended. She cannot have more children. Ask one of the Balei Atosa, say, I have a Pirush on Chumash, where they wonder, does that make sense? If you're the person who's willing to express your gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the point that you name your son Yehuda, what's the point of naming him Yehuda? That every time he goes to the playground and you call his name, you'll be reminded of how grateful you are. That every time he changes diaper and you say, Yehuda, look here. Yehuda, go over there. Go in the bath here. Every time you call his name, you should be reminded of the fact that you're so grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you have a person who has that kind of perspective, wouldn't you want to give them more children? Why does the pasuk say, Leah calls her son Yehuda, and as an immediate result of that, Vatamod Miledes, God takes away her ability to have more children? Why? Shouldn't he give her more? And they explain as follows. The problem, the deficiency with Leah was, she felt, now my life is perfect. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a child. I thanked him. Life is wonderful. God, you can check out now. I'm good. I'll be all right without you. When you have that perspective, when you think that you don't need HaKadosh Baruch Hu going forward, you think, I have it all worked out. Life is healthy, life is wonderful, everything's okay. I'm doing well, I'm successful, I'm healthy, and I'm seeming to be okay with everything that I'm involved with. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to show you, I'm going to remind you that you always need my involvement in every aspect of your life. Vatamod miledes. I'm going to take away your ability to have children, then you'll understand that it was all for me. Contrast that with Rachel Imenu. Rachel has a child after many years of not having children, and she's so upset about not being able to have a child. And what happens? What does she name him?
Yosef.
Why?
Yosef
Hashem Li Ben Acher. Is that appropriate? HaKadosh Baruch Hu just gave you a gift. Imagine you have a child who asks for a lollipop. Give him a lollipop. Right after you give it to him, he says, can I have another one? So you say, do you not appreciate what I just gave you? Take some time to appreciate it, and then we'll talk. But when we're dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who has the infinite power to give us everything, to shower us with love, who never runs out of whatever it is that He can provide for us, Rachel Imenu understood, yes, am I thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving me this child? Of course. But I'm going to ask Him immediately that He gives me Yosef Hashem Li Ben Acher, because I know You have the ability. And I know that going forward, the only way I will ever have success in my life is if You are going to be intimately involved in everything that I do in my life. That was what Rachel Imenu understood, and that was Leah's mistake. We're all grateful to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us good health. When we say that bracha nasher yatzar every day, let's take advantage of the opportunity not only to thank Him for what we have, but to offer a tefillah for what we hope to have in the future. Look at some of our campers who lived 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years with perfectly clean bill of health. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they get diagnosed. Like Atara said on Shabbos. I'm not the kind of kid who gets cancer. It's not my kind of thing. It was so sweet how she said it. But it's not anyone's kind of thing. We all think that we'll be okay. And we all think life is going to be perfect. Life will continue to be healthy. And we hope that. Let's use this as an opportunity when we say the bracha of Asher Yatzar, not only to appreciate what we have, but to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yosef Hashem li ben acher. Just like Rachel did. I understand and I appreciate that you were involved intimately in every detail, every aspect of my life until now. You are the only reason why my experiences of life have been the way they have until now. But I ask you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to continue to sustain me. Continue to give me that bracha. Continue to allow me to have that good health in order la'amod lefanecha, that I should be able to serve you. That I should be able to do it in the best way possible and give back to you all the reason why you have given so much life to me. So, just some perspectives on this very important bracha, and I think there's no better time to consider this bracha and to really think about it seriously than our time that we have here, when we really begin to appreciate how fickle life can be and how unstable, how fragile human life sometimes is, and how grateful we need to be for the stability in the lives that we are all given and for the good health that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has bestowed upon all of us. I hope you enjoyed.